you've discovered TalkZone.com. TalkZone.com. The best in internet talk radio.
TalkZone.com.
Now, TalkZone presents The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, insights and solutions to some of America's most troubling societal problems. Featuring community activist Robert L. Woodson Sr., who has spent decades promoting solutions to some of the most challenging problems facing our nation today. Now, here's your host, Bob Woodson.
Welcome, everyone. This is Bob Woodson, and we're pleased that you're joining us today for the fourth program in our new series, The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why. We have been focusing on a troubling problem, youth violence, in this series once again, and we're looking at solutions. Today, we're looking at the problem of youth violence from the perspective of the community and from law enforcement. We have three guests today, a community leader, prosecutor, and an assistant police chief. All have a concern about youth violence, and all three have been leaders in their communities in finding solutions. Our first guest today is Heidi Abbott. Ms. Abbott is an attorney in Richmond, Virginia, with the firm of Hutton and Williams, and she specializes in state government relations. But more than that, she is very active in the Richmond community and serves on a number of boards and civic causes. And she is chairman of the Richmond Police Foundation. Welcome, Ms. Abbott. Would you tell us a little about the Police Foundation and how you're bringing the community and law enforcement together?
Certainly. We, the Richmond Police Foundation Board, is an organization that was formed actually, I think about probably 7 years ago. I was not involved at the time, but to, form Project Exile, which was formed under the former police chief, Oliver, to rid the city of, guns in the community. And, it's evolved over time, and I got involved about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, under our former police chief, Rodney Monroe, when he wanted to bring the violence-free zone to the city of Richmond, and he involved the Richmond Police Foundation Board to raise funds to be able to bring the violence-free zone to the city of Richmond.
And what kind of problems, the youth violence, tell me something about the concern that led the foundation to focus on this problem.
Well, Richmond had traditionally had a history of being perceived as a very violent, being a very violent community. At some points, it had had the reputation of being one of the murder capitals of the world, and in the United States, and we had been very successful in eradicating that perception. And I think that Chief Monroe had wanted, as our murder rate went down, he wanted to make sure that stayed down. And as our crime went down, he wanted to make sure that stayed down. And one of the approaches that he wanted to take was to make sure that in schools, he believed that schools were one of the areas that a lot of gang activity started, crime started, and were breeding grounds for that. So he felt that bringing the violence-free zone, as evidenced by what he had seen in other cities and work that he'd done with you, Bob, was a way to address those issues, to get at that kind of 10% of youth that caused 90% of the problems in some of the more troubled schools in the city.
So Chief Monroe was the first to introduce it. And what steps did you take, Heidi, to inform yourself and your board about it? What was the discussion that went on at the time about the violence? Was there some pushback on the part of some people, or just what was the climate when you first introduced the idea?
When we first introduced the idea, quite frankly, at the time, Chief Monroe had been very successful, as I said, with reducing. He had introduced community policing within mm-hmm. the city of Richmond. And he had established a lot of goodwill within the community, both within the corporate community and the community at large. So he approached community leaders and corporate leaders with this idea about establishing sort of a pilot project, if you will, with the violence-free zone, and approached several of us who were community leaders and in the corporate community about raising funds to establish a pilot violence-free zone in one of the more problematic schools where they'd seen a lot of, where the police had a lot of repeated calls and problems in Richmond. And the corporate community responded overwhelmingly to his request to do this.
And you, I understand you all raised funds, and to what extent, how did that go? How much did you, were you able to raise some corporate leaders?
We were able to raise our initial, what we did is we approached the corporate community with this request. We said, let us try this, and we will give you, we promise you that we will show you the data and show you the results. We will show you the results before and after, and give us a year to show you whether it's working or not. And at that time, if it's working, we will then look to other sources of funding. But as you know, the economy has not been particularly good, and it's been difficult for schools to fund projects of this sort. So we asked the corporate community, and we raised about $500,000 from the corporate community to fund this program initially, a pilot project at one school in the city of Richmond.
And that's at George Wythe High School.
At George Wythe High School, correct.
And I understand that you, in order to orient yourself and some others, you visited the violence-free zone in another city. Would you tell us about that trip
and what
did you get from that?
It was a life-changing trip. We went to Milwaukee. We took a representative of the Richmond School Board and Police Department. I went, and a representative of the Richmond School Administration. And the purpose of our visit was to go see how they had gone. Milwaukee had been similar, I think, to Richmond in that they had started in one school as a pilot program south, I believe, which mm-hmm. I think you've talked about on this program, and then they went and are now in 8 schools, am I correct?
Yes, that is, 8 schools.
They're in 8 schools in Milwaukee, and they had gone from solely corporate funding and then transitioned through corporate funding and gone through the process of corporate funding and some foundation grants and now are funded through the school system. And that's a process that we wanted to learn about in Milwaukee to see how they went through that transition, not only to learn about funding for George Wythe, but also if we expanded the program in Richmond, because our results had been very successful at George Wythe to date. So it was a very informative, helpful trip. And I think what was most significant for us is that the school superintendent took a lot of time to meet with us, even with an outbreak of swine flu in their schools and closing their schools. He still took the time to meet with us. And we met with high school principals. We met with the local community partners. It was a very, very helpful trip.
Was there any one incident or situation that sort of convicted you to this approach? Was it a student that you saw, or just could you share with our listeners personally what is it that touched you?
Well, I've had. Just by way of background, I sort of got involved in all this through a situation. We had some friends who had been brutally murdered, a family who was brutally murdered several years ago, and this sort of coincided with getting involved with this, which has sort of started my passion for this. And I will make a point that I think that kind of one person can sort of tip somebody's influence somebody's life, you know, and tip them one way or the other. And the one thing I've seen with the violence-free zone, and I've really had the opportunity not just to work at the level of funding with the children, but I've gotten to spend a lot of time with the students at George Wythe High School. And I get to see the role that the youth advisors play every single day with these kids. And I've seen incidents where, for example, kids have been in trouble and maybe on their way to going to juvenile detention or to jail, and a youth advisor has stepped up and gotten involved in their life, and actually that involvement has tipped them or turned them one way rather than the other and made a difference in their life. And, you know, I have to reflect back and think, well, maybe that difference is what has taken that child down that path and not the path that ended up taking the folks who murdered my friends down the path that they went down. And it's really a great thing to see, because they are great. They're great kids.
Well, you know, it's interesting when many times a person with your very tragic experience responds in a very different way. They become revengeful, they become rigid, and they, let's just lock them all up. And but you seem to have responded in a different way.
It would be easy, given that experience, to become revengeful. But I will tell you, the more time you spend with these, with the kids that George with, it's even hard to see that they are. I mean, I know the violence-free zone is based on the idea that they are the 10% who cause the most problems. But as I get to know those, I say children, but students more and more, and I take my 9-year-old daughter who with me a lot of times on events, and or my son when I can get, who's 14, to go. And, you know, they really aren't any different from my kids, who have grown up in a very different experience at all. And they're really, I mean, that's the greatest part of doing the whole thing. And that's, it is interesting to just see how the youth advisors have such an impact on them, and the level of trust that's achieved between the youth advisors and the students. I've also, just so you know, have just had the opportunity to go. I'm on the Juvenile Justice Board, which oversees all the juvenile detention facilities in the state of Virginia. So I'm very conscious about keeping children out of juvenile detention.
Wow.
And what the cost of that is to the state of Virginia, not only just keeping housing a child for a year or several months, but also just if you don't have that kind of either a felony conviction or an adjudication that will follow you for the rest of your life, what that means in terms of how you go forward. So,
in other words, what you seem to be experiencing is that you're sort of trampling on traditional wisdom. There are a lot of people who say, well, if you can't reach these kids in the third and fourth grade, there's no alternative except lock them up because they're just useless. And what you seem to be saying from your experience, direct experience, that these kids are salvageable. No matter what their age, no matter what their experience, they are salvageable.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I'll just give you an incident. Yesterday, we had a tour of the Police Foundation Board at George Wythe High School. And my partner in all this, who is works with the police department, was with me, and we had one of the students who got up and spoke to the board, who I had not met before, unbeknownst to me, was a student who has been a subject of repeated problems over the course of the year, so much so that my friend at the police department had gotten repeated calls about him. The youth advisors had been working with him over the past year, over the past months, and the difference in this student and the fact that he got up and spoke to the Police Foundation board members and said what a difference the violence-free zone had made in his life, and the turnaround, and to see the impact on my friend, my partner at the police department, who was not only shocked but basically said that was sort of a life-changing moment for him to see this child who he had gotten repeated calls about get up there and speak to the foundation board members and be going to class and be, you know, functioning well, was just, you know, mind-boggling to him, but in a way that made it all worthwhile for him to be working and doing what he was doing every day. So that's sort of why we do it.
Well, and what was the response of other board members? How large is the Police Foundation Board?
We have 11 members right now who are from all aspects of the corporate community and law enforcement and academia.
So that's a good cross section of the community, corporate community. And
the response
what was, go ahead.
Not, the resp- response was phenomenal. And actually, it was great because they really come, from backgrounds very different from the students who were there. And the two of the students, including the student that I just told you about, got up and they actually performed an impromptu rap in front of the foundation board members that blew the board members away. And one of I had invited somebody who was not a board member but who was a representative of all the major funders in the community, of the sort of a link to all the CEOs in the Richmond community. And he came up to me later and he said, "Thank you so much for including me. That almost made me want to cry today." So it really had a major impression on them.
So in other words, through your leadership, Heidi, you have introduced other board members. Whose idea was it to have the board meeting at the school? Was that on the planned agenda, or was it just something that came up at the last minute?
No, that I had wanted to do that just so that they could see the violence-free zone in action.
And so it works. So you would recommend this for other civic associations who are contemplating starting a violence-free zone? And would you recommend that?
Absolutely. I think at any time when they can see the violence-free zone at work and see the children, hear their stories, hear the youth advisor's stories, and see the relationship between the youth advisors and the students, that speaks for itself.
So in other words, it's just firsthand experience in interacting with the children. And what about the youth advisors, the people who are the agents of change? What was your response, or the board's response to them? Did they have much to say at the meeting?
Oh, the board was so impressed. I think they were impressed from start to finish with the tour, with both the youth advisors, with the supervisors of our community partner, which is the Richmond Outreach Center, the youth advisors, and with the students. Because the youth advisors, as you know, Bob, which is the premise, I mean, their stories are just as compelling as the students' stories. And then the relationship that exists between them, and the fact that the youth advisors are available 24/7 for the students and go into their homes and really go the extra miles to make sure that the students know they're loved and know that they can be trusted and know that, and really help them stay out of trouble. And as I said before, it still goes back to me, that whole premise of it can take one person to turn somebody one way or the other, which has lasting ramifications, not only for that person's life, but obviously for other people's lives, as evidenced by, you know, what happened to my friends. So
this has been quite an experience for you, and I can just tell, and I can feel the emotion. It's so reassuring to know that there's civic leaders like yourself and your board, because you can then provide leadership to other civic leaders who sometimes people sit in their ivy towers and make decisions about what's good or bad for others. But nothing informs a person more than a firsthand experience of seeing the fruit of what a program or an effort can produce. And I just really appreciate your leadership in doing that. And it is hoped if people hearing this show, other civic leaders, wanted to get in touch with you and to the board. Can you tell us how they can reach you, Heidi?
They could reach me through either my email address, which is it's Heidi Abbott, and my email is habbott@hunton.com, or my direct dial is 804-788-8236, and that's probably through me is the best way to do that.
Because I'm sure people listening to this show will want to hear more about you or learn what they can do. I think these violence-free zones are operating in five or six other cities, and where there's going to be a gathering on November the 16th in Washington, D.C., where Ms. Abbott will be attending and other members. But I want to thank you for participating and sharing your insights and experience with us, Heidi, and really appreciate and look forward to getting together with you.
All right. Well, Bob, thanks for the opportunity, and as always, for everything that you do. So much appreciated.
Thanks again. We have been talking about youth violence today with Heidi Abbott, chairman of the Richmond, Virginia Police Foundation. I'm Bob Woodson, the host of the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be joined by the district attorney of the city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to get a prosecutor's perspective on the problems of youth violence, and we'll return after these messages.